But whatever time I have remaining, I want to leave this with you because it is possible. It is not impossible. And it is something that either breaks the back of a church or is used by God to lift it up and to make it a light unto the world that is worth watching. This is the last chapter of the book of John. Jesus is addressing Peter. He has just told him to feed the flock, all of it, the young ones. He has told them to shepherd the flock, all of them. And he has told us to prepare the flock for his coming. In order to do this, they must prepare themselves. The pastor's wives, the deacon's wives, the deacons, the preachers, the workers in the church, and the only one who can prepare them is Jesus. Now in John 21, 18 through 22, this is something that began a long time ago in Peter's life. You have heard this preached so many times that you can do a much better job than I do, which isn't to say an awful lot. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou withest." The Lord is speaking directly to Peter. And it's the close of the Lord's life here. Matter of fact, he'll be ascending shortly at this time. He says, "But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee where thou wouldest not." I think that's true of every preacher's wife here. I think that's true of every preacher that's here. I think that's true of every wife of deacons, pastors, preachers, and I think it's true of the deacon himself that's here. Well, here we are. And these are the things that the Lord told us to do. He said, "You did pretty much what you wanted, Peter, when you were young. And I still used you. And you were still the leader of the church. Church wasn't formed on you." But he said, "You did pretty much what you wanted, but you were the leader of it. Now that you're old," he said, "there's a lot you can't do." Well, there are some things you can do. You can keep on following him. You can keep on setting an example for your children, for those you love. He said, "This spake he by signifying what death he should glorify God." Here it comes. "And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me." Your pastor's not always right. Your wife's not always right. Your husband's not always right. The local church and its decisions is not always right. Deacons make mistakes. Pastors make mistakes. Preachers make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. He says, "And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me." If your husband follows the Lord, follow your husband. In those areas where he does not, do not follow him, but do not ridicule him, and do not turn violently against him. Be kind and gentle and patient with him, because he can only learn through your example. Try to control your temper. Try to have more virtue. Try to have more knowledge of the one who saved you. Try to have more temperance, more patience. try to have more godliness. Try to worship God correctly, more and more and more. Those are the things of Christ. That is the personality of Christ. Let Him reign in you. Let Him change you. What happens next? Well, he says, brotherly kindness. Have more brotherly kindness towards your church family, towards your own family at home. You say, I don't always do that. None of us do. But God tells us we need to. Well, what should we do? And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciples. Why didn't I mention brotherly? Why didn't I mention agape, godly love? Because we only love him because he first loved us. And he is the source of our forgiveness. He told the woman, where art thine accusers? She looked around. They weren't there. He said, neither do I accuse thee. Go and sin no more. How many times does he do that for you? 490? Forever. You say, I can't do that. I can't either. But I can follow him and ask him to forgive me and do what he told me. For how long? Until you draw your last breath. It's not hard. You're not hard to love. May be hard for God to love you because he's perfect. Yet you quench him. I quench him. You resist him. I resist him. You grieve him. I grieve him. Well, what's God's purpose? God wants us to know, I forgive you. And he keeps on forgiving you and keeps on forgiving you. And most people never learn this. I've learned it. Grace isn't just to save you. Grace is to change you after you're saved and to give you spiritual growth. And after that, it is to lead you and to teach you. Do what I told you, the way I told you to do it. Don't question my reason for it. Observe the ordinances I have given you. All of them that I have given you. And he has given us two ordinances of baptism. He has given us the rules, the things that he wants us to do that please him in worshiping. He has done all these things, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Is there another word for that? Follow me. What is the other word that this imbecilic pastor you have has given you all these years? Would anybody like to answer?
I'd say faithful.
What?
Faithful. That may not be the one. But
well, could you give me one that he said? Katergas Estee.
Do all things heartily.
Yeah. Do all things without murmuring and disputings.
Amen.
Can you do it? No. But you can get over it. You can get over it. I can get over it. You can get over it. We all can get over it. And let God pick us up and keep on following him. What's padeo, Kenneth? Huh? Endure. To endure. Is there another word for follow me? Different word that says the same thing? Yes, there is. Paideo. Let me raise you. Let me raise you. That's the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. You say, can I, what if I resist? You resist all the time. What if you quench him? You quench him all the time. So do I. You resist him all the time. So do I. There is only one solution. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let him be in you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And when you even go ahead after he has fled from you and sinned anyway, don't think God won't forgive you. You say, he can't be that merciful. I've learned to know God. God is my friend. There is nothing he would not have forgiven me except to fail to receive his Son as my Savior. And as blind as I was, as depressed as I was, as godless as I was, he saved me and lives in me and will never leave me nor forsake me. There are things you can do. Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned at his breast, on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? What will this man do that you said was going to betray you? He said, what shall this man do? He said, what will Peter do? Peter asked him, he said, what shall this man do? Referring to John that laid on his breast. Jesus saith unto him, you want to know what causes problems in a church? The main ingredient, what they argued about all the time, who would be the greatest in the church. I've said to you a million times, I even learned that when I was young. There's only the greatest in the church is Jesus. He's the head of the church. He's the foundation of the church. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, you're an under-shepherd. But who is my shepherd? My shepherd is Jesus. If I follow Jesus, then follow me because you're following Jesus, but I'm not Jesus. And realize that I have faults. And if I'm doing something wrong, talk to me about it. Talk to me gently. Don't yell at me. Don't scream at me. Don't shout at me. Don't tell me I'm this and that and call me names. Don't do that. I'll listen. And my shepherd is Jesus. And you better believe if you're right, he's going to let me know. Been through this too many times. And Peter, seeing to him, saith thus to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, he says, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Over and 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 over again. He tells the pastor, he tells the preachers, he tells the deacons, he tells all their wives, and he tells the church members that are trying to please him, follow me. But the pastor is certainly not greater than Jesus, nor are the preachers in the church, nor is the deacon, nor are the wives of these men and women. It's Jesus. Amen. And whenever Jesus and a pastor tries to lead you down the path, talk to him and say, why you don't believe the church should do this? I'll listen. And if I don't listen, then the deacons can come and talk. Then the one deacon can come and talk to me. And if he really wants me to do something, send your wife. She's a vicious woman. But in any case, that's what this is all about. Follow thou me. So what does this tell you to do? Follow him. I got some wonderful news for you. You did this morning. You're here. Is that to say that all of them that aren't here didn't follow? Absolutely not. I'm not going to sit up here as pastor and judge who should come and who shouldn't and who isn't here because of what reason. You say, well, you used to do that. I know more. That's up to you. It's always been up to you. My job is to preach the word. I'm going to share some bits learned during my 83 years with the brethren. And I'm going to expose something to you that I've got no more to teach you on this. At least I don't think I have. But it's taken me all these years to get around to where I could finally preach to you the full exposition of what I believe about this verse. And it's not heresy. These are bits learned during 83 years with the brethren. Well, Robert's always asking you questions, and I've enjoyed that, and I've enjoyed the results he gets. And I've watched him, and I used to teach like that a long time ago. And one wife, one day we were driving back, and I thought I had preached an outstanding sermon up in northern Arkansas, and we always opened a glove compartment to look and see if we had enough gas money to get home with what they paid me. They usually gave me cash in an envelope. I declared it anyway, because that's what I'm supposed to do. And so as soon as we got down the road from church, she opened up the glove compartment to see if we got enough gas money to get home, telling you another sad story so you'll love me. In any case, I didn't get any answer. I said, how much would they pay us, babe? I thought, well, she's gone to sleep. And so I shook her and woke her up. And she opened it up. And I said, well, I always ask her. I said, honey, what did you think of that message? There was a long, you knew Imogene. She'd never said anything to me like that in my whole time in the ministry. She said, it stunk. That's exactly what she said. And I said, what was wrong with it? She said, honey, you used to just preach the word line by line, verse by verse, and explain it. She said, you're doing what they're all doing now. She said, they're getting up there and they're shouting and they're screaming and they're telling puppy dog tales and they're doing this and they're doing that. And she said, they're luring people down an aisle. And she said, you're just starting to do the same thing. And I had three mighty messages. The train message. Woo. Boy, it was powerful. And then I had another one called Mary of Bethany. And it was another. Boy, that was my power-packed message. One day we were at a house, and the woman asked me what I was going to preach tonight, and I'd already preached one of the others. And she said, what are you going to preach tonight? I said, well, I was thinking about preaching of Mary of Bethany. And she looked over at the little girl, and she said, it was Candy. Oh. She said, honey, your dad could change, the Lord could change your dad's mind. She said, he only has three messages. You say, listen, what kind of a preacher are you? What you see is what you get. And when God called me, what he saw is what he got. God's worked on me all these years. Why, and I'm going to ask you this, and Robert, if you know, you always tell me don't answer that. So if anybody knows the answer, besides all you biblical wizards out there, why were Psalms included with the Old and New Testaments as faith and rule practice? Why does this church and every other missionary Baptist church, why do they include the Psalms? Why do they include the Psalms with Old Testament and New Testament? Why is that our rule in faith and practice? Why on earth would they use the Psalms? Does anybody know? No, you'll probably get it wrong, okay. But go ahead.
Because the Scripture said to.
The Scripture does not come out and tell you to follow the Psalms and the Old Testament and the New Testament.
The old, we don't, in the New, it says the Psalms in the New Testament is our rule of faith and practice.
Well, that's a pretty good answer. The reason they do it is because David was a prophet. And the psalmists were inspired. And you just presented a case to show that there is no vast difference between the teachings in the Old Testament and the New Testament regarding salvation. Amen. That's why they did it. You can count on the Psalms. Well, you can count on the Old Testament. But like Kenneth says, the New Testament. It explains the New Testament. But the Psalms explain the Old Testament and the New Testament also. That's why they do it. So that's the reason. And that's why we do it. Now, I use a lot of the Psalms because A lot of preachers don't. You say, well, I think you're superior to them. No, I'm not superior to them in any stretch of imagination. But God said, study thyself as approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, dividing the word of truth. Page 1. Everlasting God. These are some things I've learned in the 43 years I've been here. Everlasting God. I have learned that the Son and the seed are one. Well, I knew that before I came here. The Petros word seed laid on Peter was the same yesterday and today and the same forever. I've learned that. Man, I've learned a lot of other stuff. And we've shared it with you. All the preachers in this church, past, present, and future, have shared that with you in their own way and in their own style, in their own intermediate place and spiritual growth. Matthew 16, 14 through 18. I have waited for years to tell you this, but I have known it since I first came here. And I just said, well, if I do that, I'm in enough trouble now by preaching the seventh trumpet rapture. Why should I add this to it? Matthew 16, 14 through 18. Now bear with me on this. Matthew 16, 14 through 18. Now the disciples were wandering along behind Jesus. You see it all the time. Disputing about who would be the greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus always turned around and corrected them. And he has turned around and corrected me many, 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 many times. Much more than he ever corrected them, probably. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and other Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto him, but whom say ye that I am? He deliberately asked that question. And the they up there means all the disciples were asking this. But Jesus wanted it to come from Simon Peter because he knew he was going to use Simon Peter to introduce Gentiles into the church. And he knew he was the one that he had chosen to lead them. And he made all these decisions. Guess why? Because he was God and he knew it. And they didn't. But he knew it. They knew he was the Messiah. So did he. But he also knew he was God. He saith unto thee, but whom saith I that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now what he does next is very, very interesting. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bajarno. But his name was Peter. God gave him that name. He was Petros. Wasn't he? He was Petros. But this is his father's name. This is his physical father's name. He was Simon. That was the name his mother and dad gave him. Bajarno. Bar is son of. And Jonah was his father's name. How did Peter figure this out? Was it something that he just sat down and said, well, I'm going to figure this out for myself? No, it wasn't. It was something the Spirit of Almighty God Himself drew out of Peter and had Peter give him the correct answer. And now, look what Jesus says. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed, ecstatically happy, art thou, Simon Bajarno, son of Jonah? For flesh and blood, he said, your mom and dad, he said, they didn't give this to you. You didn't get this from your flesh. He said, hath not revealed it unto thee. He said, I want you to understand, all of you, that what he just said came directly from God. But from my Father which is in heaven. Who is Jesus? Well, he's according to Isaiah. He's God Almighty. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Counselor. He's the Comforter. He's the Everlasting God. You see, this is all in the Old Testament. And as Robert pointed out this morning, what I learned when I was young, I had to first be taught before I could understand this. So if you think I'm all that smart, you're quite wrong. I'm just an old country boy from behind the plow that God lifted up out of the woods from an old church out in the woods. You had to go through a creek to get through to tell people, Jesus is God. Jesus is who he claimed to be. He watches over you from the day of your birth. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He created the angels. He created the heavens. He created the earth. He created all things. He made you. He's your Lord. He's your God. He's your Savior. I didn't know that the night I was saved. I just knew he had saved me from going to hell because I believed him. He says, blessed art thou, Simon, Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. He says, guess what? He says, Peter. He said, Petra. Well, what was Petra? It was the Word of God. What was it that Peter took the disciples to at Caesarea Philippi? He said, thou art Peter. He said, what you just said, now listen, what you just said is what I'm going to build the church on. And it will be a great rock, a mighty rock. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, well, Brother Michael Murray, why didn't you teach us that before? Because I had to learn that. And you'll also be happy to discover that I learned some other men had believed it before me. And that God gave me that as saying, Tom, don't be afraid. I didn't teach this just to you. And I believed it. That's what the church is built on. What did Peter say? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. There is a Godhead. And the Godhead indwells the man Christ. It indwells the Word. It indwells the Word that he spoke in all its power. And nothing can prevail against the Word of God. Absolutely nothing. That's what this church preaches, the Word of God. Think about it. And upon this rock, Petra, he said, well, what rock? What Peter just said. Have I taught you anything different? Did he not say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and was not anything made that was not made of God, with God, for God, by God? Isn't the Word? You say, well, he's Jesus. You got the point. But it was what Jesus said. He said, what and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life, and I speak to you from the oracles of God. I couldn't teach you that. Because down through the years, people had taken that and changed it into a multiplicity of different other things. But the power is in the Word. You say, well, the Word is God. Jesus said, what and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he is before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. What happened to you when you got saved? Well, there are a multiplicity of different types of feelings and emotions that go through all of us. We're all different. We were raised by different parents in different times, different circumstances. But there is one consistent thing that has gone down through the ages to every time. We have not seen Jesus, but we have heard His Word. We have heard His Word. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Think of this. You were saved by somebody you've never seen. How is that possible? The Word. The Word. Now I know why those old preachers would put the Bible down and praise it and thank God for it, because it is Jesus. It dwells in Him in all His fullness. He is God. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the everlasting Father. He is Almighty God. He is the Prince of Peace. And He lives in you. Now, are you going to let His mind live in you? Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Not me, but Jesus. Follow me only as I follow the Scriptures. Follow me only as I follow the Scriptures. If I do not follow the Scriptures, do not follow me. If you were the devil and you wanted to destroy the church, how would you go about destroying it? By destroying the Word. Why do we have so many church buildings now that are full of people that are not preaching the Word? Why do we have so many people like that that just aren't preaching the Word? Why? That's the way to destroy the church. That's why we've got so many blasted different interpretations out there of the Word. That's why we've got all these Bibles that people are reading and looking at and saying, well, I like this one better. It suits me better. It may suit you better, but it shouldn't suit you better if it doesn't suit God as the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and His Word is that way. His Word is that way. So why have I stayed here at this church? God taught me that. So why should I go somewhere else and start all over? He doesn't lay it on my heart. There's enough stuff in this Bible to teach for 1,000,000 years. You say, wait till we get to heaven. We'll just learn heaven on heaven. No, you won't. You'll be a whole lot happier because you'll have a whole lot more to learn when you get there. And you'll know Him. Just to see Him and to know Him as He is. There's a lot of joy on the way to heaven here. But it has to go through a lot of valleys. It has to go through a lot of hills. He said, I will build my church. His church is built on the Word. His church is the living Word. His church is the way into the kingdom. His church is the truth and what leads people into the kingdom. You obtain salvation the moment you come to Him and believe His Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then there's a whole new life to live forever. And you're just starting, and I'm just starting. We're just taking the first steps. We are saved. We are sealed. We do know Him. But don't you think the devil's going to put up one whale of a fight for us? Don't you think he's going to give us a whole lot of different reasons and try to justify in our own minds why we haven't surrendered, why we haven't done this, why we haven't done that? Don't you think he's going to give us reasons to justify ourselves? There is no justification for not following God once His Spirit has come inside you to live. And He's going to bug you about it because He loves you. He lets you quench Him. He lets you resist Him. He lets you grieve Him because He loves you. He loves you, and He loves you, and He loves you, and He wants you to wake up and say, now I know. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not fail it. And I said, and I will give unto thee, oh, what's this thee? The keys of the kingdom of heaven. Who did he give the keys of the kingdom of heaven to? Peter. How did he do it? By getting a bunch of followers from the Jerusalem church to go up there with him so they would receive them. They would never have received them if God had not done it the way he did. God does everything right. We tend to do everything wrong, but he does. What happened? Peter had dreams. Down come these things that they were not supposed to partake of. It was the law. They were not supposed to do this. They were not supposed to do that. They were not supposed to do this. They were not supposed to do that. I'm not talking about being baptized or anything. I'm just talking about don't do this. Don't do that. Don't build your mantle on your rooftop. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do that. And every time they would sin, they would have to go and offer a sacrifice or partially to that effect. And they would have to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year to sacrifice. And they would have to do all that stuff. He said, down came this thing. And he told Peter, arise and eat. Oh! That was the most horrible thing he could have ever said to a Jew. And Jesus knew it. And he was having this dream and he believed it was from God. And he was telling him to arise and eat. And he said, nay, Lord, nay, 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 nay. And he kept doing that, didn't he? And meanwhile, up the road, at the house in Caesarea, there was a Roman centurion. And they had come to believe what the Jews believed. Or they had come to realize that there was a God. They had a God. And so what happened? Well, he had Cornelius send for help to Peter. And Peter shows up. And Peter tells him this story. And Cornelius shares with him. And Peter says, my gracious, the Jews are being accepted into the kingdom. He's amazed. But he shouldn't be because God's given him that dream. And suddenly, guess who gives him the interpretation of that dream? And guess who's going to stand right straight up against him and say no? That church, the people from the Jerusalem church that were members, that he brought up there with him. And all of a sudden there came down, and they were speaking, and they were doing all kinds of stuff. And so all of a sudden he turns around to the disciples of the Jerusalem church, and I can't be sure this was right. They're standing there like this, but I'm pretty sure they're standing there just like this. And what they've seen, they cannot believe. They have seen the immersion of the Holy Spirit on them, on these Gentiles. And God moved Peter at just the right time to ask the question. Can any men forbid baptism that these should not be baptized even as we? Not a one of them objected. And they baptized them. And they became members of the first New Testament church. And then God raised up Paul. Well, who was the shepherd of that flock from the very beginning? God. Who did Jesus appoint to be their shepherd? Peter. You say, well, what's been the problem with God's shepherds? They're imperfect. I'm imperfect. So what happens when old Peter, when he forgot this authority, he goes up there and he starts patronizing with the Jews again because he doesn't want to hurt their feelings and because he doesn't want anybody to dislike him and he wants to be one of the buddies again. And Paul became the shepherd of the Gentiles. And he withstood Peter face to face. You say, well, Peter goofed up. In come another shepherd. You say, did Paul ever make any mistake? Yes. He and Barnabas got in the awfulest fight you ever saw. Religiously. You say, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Follow. God's way for brideship. Follow thou me. If I do something that is not right as an under shepherd, tell me to my face. And don't scream and yell at me. I'm sure that Paul didn't scream and yell at Barnabas. I'm sure he just went and talked at Peter. I'm sure he just talked to him. You know what hurts me deepest of all? When somebody that loves me what makes me happiest, I guess, after it's over, what makes me happiest is that God sent them. And people don't yell at each other when God sends them. And it's something that this church has learned. Now we've learned it, and what are we going to do with it? Because it's been taught to us over these 53 years. It's not one episode. It's the whole time. He says, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." Well, it had already been bound in heaven. It had already been shown to Peter. It had already been shown to the Jerusalem church members. And eventually it was shown to Peter by Paul, who went and rebuked him face to face. But when it says rebuke, that it means to rebuke in love. It does not mean to shout and scream and call them all sorts of names. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means go and talk to them about it. Amen. Lord, I'd listen to you. I've listened to you teach. And I would listen to you, Robert. And I would listen to you, Kenneth. And I would listen to Patrick. And I would listen to his brother. I would listen to Anime. You say, well, why would you? They're tested. They're true. They love me. And they wouldn't shout at me. And it's something that everybody in the church needs to have a hand and a part in, because this is something that God put in a church that if you murmur and dispute, you're never going to get anything done worth 2 cents. He says, "And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt be loosed shall be loosed on heaven." Now listen, it had already been done right in front of them, and God did it for that reason. The thing was, what Peter said was actually what Petra is. It's the local church teaching of the truth, because Christ is the head of it, the foundation of it, and walks among it. But it's what he said that is the Petra and the rock. And when we betray what he said and change it, we are turning people away from God's way. And we are turning them to a new way that has created all these churches out here. The devil works against the church by trying to make the church people mad at each other. Nobody's better at it than he is. From that fourth time, Jesus began to show his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem. If we vote to do something in business meeting, and God doesn't approve of it, we'll know it. We'll know it if we know the Word. We'll know it if we know the Word. And God reveals to us what we should know and what our rule in faith and practice should be. From that time, he said, "Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ." That's quite a command. "From that time forth began how he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day." Then Peter took him. And began to rebuke him. Now this is not a pat on the back and saying, "I love you. Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." What is the most beautiful thing that ever happened on the surface of this earth? I knew that when I was young. Don't ask me how I knew it. But after I got saved, it didn't take me long to figure this out, and God is the one that taught me. One lone, single, solitary man who was God, is God, and always shall be God, hanging in flesh, that was sinless on a cross and bearing my sins in his own body on the tree. And I became aware and believe and still do, if I had been the only man there to die for, he would have died for me. Now that's the way things are. So when you come to church, don't come to church looking for something come to church looking to learn something that will help you to love him more than you do now. But those that be of men. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Man, listen, denying yourself gives you greater joy than anything you've ever had in your life. It's the hardest thing you'll ever have to do. It's the hardest thing you'll ever have to do. But after it's done, you can take up the cross. You can take up the cross and you can just say, whatever, whatever, and follow me. There it is. Follow me. Follow me as I follow Jesus. Follow the Word. Follow the Word. You've got the Word. This church has got the Word. We need to follow the Word. Because it's the living Word of God for the living Son of God who lives in us. Let whosoever will save his life. He said, and whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Listen, it's not too bad to get out and live a cigarettes and whiskey and wild, wild women. I kid about it all the time, but I'm never serious. But some people that are just as saved as I am love it, and they're church members. I can think of one, but I won't name his name, and he's a former vice president. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. I found it. I found it. I was born godless. I was saved and made godly by the power of Christ in me. I found life. Once you find it, follow it. Follow it. What is it? The Word. Who is the Word? Jesus. What is the Word? By grace are you saved through faith. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This isn't complicated. I deliberately asked God, help me to put something out there that anybody can understand. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That word is psyche. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Psyche. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his fathers with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Well, the truth of the matter is, right down to the nth degree, that word also means life. Check it out, it means life. You know what I've got left? My life in the flesh. You know what you've got left as God's child? You've got your life in the flesh. That's what you've got. Now, are you going to let him live it in you? Or are you going to live it yourself and suit yourself? Paul made one thing abundantly clear, that it was Christ living his life in him by faith. Christ's faith. By submission to him. He said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Hold on to these two. I won't show them to you again. But hold on to them. You see, I want to hold on to Christ. Hold on to the Word. If you hold on to the Word, you're holding on to Christ. Give me time to get back there. Pray for me. God's been, Ken, you want to help me get up? I'm going to keep you up. I didn't mean to go this far over, but I won't apologize. Not because I'm can't, or I won't. But these are bits and things I've learned, and I want to leave this world.